listening to Don't Get Left in the Dust, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Don't Get Left in the Dust here on LA Talk Radio, unleashing the power of entrepreneurship. We're here today with Michael Salisbury of Human Resource Alliance. We're talking about the business implications of the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, or known as Obamacare. It is much more complex, convoluted, I guess is the word I'm trying to come out with, about this care. I am as well as ignorant, and I'm trying to have Michael explain it to me like 11-year-old from the movie Philadelphia as Denzel Washington, because it, when I got the information, it was a lot more than I thought, and we left it with the wellness investments as part of the care. Now I want to get in, Michael, to the business implications of this. There are positives, and just like everything else in life, there's negatives, but we got to get into the business implications on good and positive for this health care act. So I want to get into a little bit of the overview, if you can, of this that you presented to me.
Well, let's talk about the fact that the law is set up to address businesses from two perspectives. First of all, generally speaking, the size of the business. So the law will impact you in different ways if you have less than 25 employees, if you have less than 50 employees, if you have less than 200 employees. So you need to determine in assessing whether the law is impacting your business, one of the first questions you have to ask is, okay, how many employees do I have, and does this provision apply to a company based on my number of employees? The second issue that helps to come to grips with this particular law is to determine when does this provision of the law come into effect, because there are many provisions that came into effect in 2010, other provision came into effect in 2011, others in 2012, others in 2013. 2014 is going to be a huge year for a number of the provisions, etc. So with those two parameters, if you're trying to understand the law and how it applies to your business, those are the first two questions you need to come to grips with. Does this provision apply to a company of my size, and what year does this provision apply to? So let me take a good example. A good example is, if your company has no more than 25 employees, you should have been taking a look at whether or not the tax credits that are part of this law apply to you. Now, there are a couple other things that you want to take into account. First of all, does your company provide health insurance for its employees? Do you pay on average less than $50,000 in wages for your employees? And do you contribute at least 50% of the single coverage premium for enrolled employees? If so, your company most likely is eligible for a tax credit beginning in 2010. Now, if your CPA has not brought this to your attention, don't get angry with him.
Just beat him with a wet noodle.
It's something that a lot of people aren't familiar with. And if you call your CPA and ask them if your company qualifies, and by the way, some of these tax credits are retroactive, so even though it's 2012, you could have the benefit apply for previous years, and ask them if they're familiar with this provision. They'll be honest and tell you if they are or they're not. But if they're not, then ask them if they need some help in that regard, and we're happy to help. We can guide the CPA and help them make that determination, not only for your business, but they'll be happy to learn it because they can apply it to the other businesses that they support. So there's an example of something that applies depending on a particular size of employer, and it has an impact at a certain period of time.
I thought you were going to go right into that again. I wanted to ask, you answered the question that this sounds, again, if people don't know about it. I think a lot aren't educated on this law if they have 25 people or less and not too sure that you can really provide a great service for them to make sure they get that tax credit.
I can. And let me give you another example that applies to companies that are less than 25 employees that have insurance for their employees. We've all heard about the fact that the parent who has a 25-year-old can now put that 25-year-old on their company insurance plan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have fewer than 25 employees and you have a grandfathered health insurance plan, and just to make it easy, grandfathered means you haven't really changed the plan in any significant way since 2010.
That's what a grandfather provision is?
That's
what I wanted to ask you when you sent. I didn't mean to interrupt, but they have like the grandfather provision. I was reading all of this and I go, what is that? So thank you for explaining that.
Right. So if you have basically the same plan in 2012 that you had in 2010, you are not required to have the 26-year-old, the 25-year-old, the 24-year-old, the 23-year-old covered unless they're in college. There's certain requirements, but even it is not. It's the old requirement, and it's not through the age 26. And as a result, your insurance premiums should reflect that. Now, I'll bet if you haven't had this conversation with your broker, they simply pass the same premium implication onto your plan as they did for those plans that aren't grandfathered, and you're in a position to negotiate a reduction in your premium.
That's a good... I think you really are going to provide... I'm sure a lot of businesses are being charged too much. For this.
That's right, because they're
not educated enough. This is so important, especially when you're with, you have a business that only has 25 employees. That's a really small business. And the health care, I mean, I understand the business. You need to understand both sides. But that's a huge overhead for businesses, health care. I mean, we all want people to be healthy, but for a small business, it is a huge burden on them.
Well, what really is the burden is the fact it keeps going up every year.
Yeah.
Now, that's another issue that you need to be aware of, and that is this should already have happened, but you need to confirm that it has. Chances are your insurance carrier has charged you too much based on the new legal requirements. And back in June and July, you should have received a rebate check from your insurance carrier. Kaiser met the requirement, so if you have Kaiser, you're in good shape. But almost every other carrier did not meet the requirements by Obamacare. Now, I'm not going to get into the details because I'll bore you, but you should definitely check into the fact as to whether or not you got a rebate check from your carrier.
Uh-huh.
Now, obviously, if the employees are contributing to the premium, then in a equitable fashion, they should get a portion of that rebate themselves. So, for example, let's say you spend, I'm going to make this very simple, let's say you spend $100 a month on healthcare premiums, and the employee contributes $10. And then you got a check back from the insurance company of $1. So under those circumstances, you would keep 90 cents and you'd give the employee 10 cents. And you need to do that. That's a fair and legitimate thing to do. But what's important is for you to know that you should have received that dollar.
I think that you might, hopefully people will call you up. Help, Michael. I'm not getting that back. We talked about the grandfather provision, what that means, which is your care. You keep the same care you've had. As far as the package, the taxes credit, but there's also a penalty involved, isn't there? The penalties involved in this?
Well, there are penalties, there are taxes. Depending on who you talk to, there are at least 23 financial vehicles in which the Obamacare law can obtain money from either penalties or some kind of tax or fees. And as you know, the argument for years by Obamacare was that there were no new taxes. But the fact is that there are. I'll mention one that It's amazing to me how few people know about this. I believe it's 2014, but if you sell your house in 2014, there will be a 3.8% tax on the sale of your house that will be used to fund Obamacare. Mm. People do not know about that.
No. No, I don't think so. So that's one of the penalties. We had, you talked earlier, this the Obamacare is spread out. You have 2012, 2013, and it even goes as far as the information you gave me to 2018 as far. So we are, you know, so short of time here. So let's, the 2012, what are the main implications for businesses for the 2012?
All right. In 2012, there's a number of key provisions. First of all, let me talk about the rebate that I just mentioned. The new law requires that at least 85% of all premium dollars collected by an insurance company for large employers are spent on healthcare services and healthcare quality improvement. For plans sold to individuals and small employers, at least 80% of the premium must be spent on benefits and quality improvement. So I just wanted to get a tie-in to that previous comment. Now, the new law provides incentives for physicians to join together to form what are known as accountable care organizations. These are groups where they're encouraged to provide better patient care and improve the quality, help prevent diseases, and reduce unnecessary hospital admissions. That's the purpose of this group. But the implication is that the independent physician, the family physician you are, you're familiar with, may go away. The model that Kaiser presents, where you go to one institution for all your health care needs, whether it be a hospital, a physician for a checkup, radiology, emergency room, that concept, the Kaiser concept that you're familiar with, is what the government feels should be the model for the future. So if you've noticed, and I don't expect everybody to have paid attention to this, but you have facilities such as USC and UCLA, both of which have extensive healthcare operations, beginning to expand into communities in a dramatic fashion.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And that's the reason, because there are financial incentives in Obamacare for that to happen. So what we're talking about is big healthcare, if you will, not healthcare in the way that you used to know it. As a result of so many different provisions, for example, there's a provision that is related to the Obamacare but separate. It was a law that was passed before the Obamacare initiative, had to do with electronic medical records, and the government is basically subsidizing the effort to make your records electronically available to other sources. So right now, if you go to a doctor and get a physical, chances are they'll keep that records in a handwritten format. In the future, that will be done in electronic format, just like everything else, and you'll be able to bring it up on your cell phone. So what, in order to make things efficient so that people can access your records and things don't get replicated, like tests, laboratory tests or x-rays or radiology, because people don't have access to the records, the process will allow the record or the activity to occur only once, and then whoever in theory needs to have access to those records simply puts in a password and they have it available to you. So these are some of the things that are going to help reduce cost in terms of the medical care that we talked about. And the only way the government thinks that this can be done effectively is to promote this within these accountable care organizations. And if the accountable care organizations do reduce the cost, they get rebates associated with it, and that'll be managed by the government. They're going to be managing this so that the cost is not done at a sacrifice to the quality of care. Now, how they're going to do that is yet to be determined, but that's one of the provisions of the Obamacare legislation.
Michael, we've run out of time, so I want to invite you back for this because there's a lot more to talk about, especially with business. And I want to educate myself as well on Obamacare, as well as the health care. We know there's a need for this, but how to do it? We need to have an open dialogue, both positive and negatives. There's to smooth out the stuff and see what we can do, and especially how this is going to impact with businesses. So I want to thank you for coming on the show. Come back. We've got a lot to talk about here. I want you to come back. Before we go, could you give the audience out there how they can contact you for your services, all businesses on Human Resource Alliance, how they can contact you?
Yes. First of all, you can contact me directly by phone. My number is 818-970-0730. And my website is HRALLIANCE.biz. So it's HRAlliance.biz. And I'm happy to take your calls. There's no charge unless I solve a problem for you. And I'm happy to help you in any way that we can. Again, our focus is develop relationships.
Thank you again, Michael, for coming on the show. Please come back. This is an important important subject to talk about, and we will be back with it. So everyone out there, keep safe, keep moving forward, don't get left in the dust. Entrepreneurs, unleash your entrepreneurship. Also, we are less than maybe 2.5 weeks from voting. I know it can be a little bit frustrating, but voting is important. Please register and get out to vote. We will be back next Sunday with a great guest. Hang in there and have a great week.
You're listening to Don't Get Left in the Dust, right here on LA Talk Radio. We'll